Woof, woof, woof.
Meow, meow, meow.
Woof, woof, woof.
Meow, meow, meow.
Woof, woof. Woof, woof, woof.
Whoa, whoa! Oh, this is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting live and worldwide from a you-know-what kind of bunker, the kind without windows, because people are overrated and they're out there, and if you have windows, you can see them. We're the most curmudgeonly Liberty show on the air. We're not all positive like the Free Talk Live people. They're all positive. Oh, Lou, curmudgeon in curmudgeon seat number two. How are you, Lysander Fiend?
I am doing just fine. I have my high-capacity magazine full of coffee, and the statocrats can take it from my still warm, jittery hand. I ain't giving it up.
I like Free Talk Live, and I like positivity. I'm just, I don't know, maybe when everyone turns 50, they won't be as, when I, like me, they won't be as upbeat.
I think the Fiends are a lot more positive than most of the shows out there, especially the ones that claim to be Liberty shows.
They're which tyranny is just, shows.
Yeah.
They're yeah, just it, tyranny it, shows. Yeah.
Yes, yeah, it's newspeak that they're Liberty. It's all backwards. We are true 100% pure uncut Liberty. No additives, preservatives, not tainted with any constitutions or social contracts. Pure uncut Liberty, and it won't kill you.
But Lou, why don't you love the Constitution? Are you a communist?
No, I am not a communist, and that is why I don't love the Constitution. The Constitution, I'm sorry to say this.
I think socialism would be the better word there, but go ahead.
You have to read a little bit more than the Bill of Rights. Articles 1 through 7 is nothing but what you are expected to endure and how it will be imposed upon you. and Amendments 1 through 10 would be completely unnecessary if not for Articles 1 through 7. And I really love that fugitive slave law in Article 4, Section 2, Clause 3. No, that did not originate in 1850. They originated in 1787.
It's in the Constitution. Yeah. And
yes.
There's also that little bit in there about laying and collecting taxes, which basically means they can steal as much as they want for you. And anybody who says, we got to restore the Republic and get back to when America was good, would that be, you know, to blacks being beat up for trying to register to vote in the 50s and 60s? Would that be you know, smallpox in the 1800s, or would that be all the way back to a few years after the signing of the Declaration of Independence when George Washington murdered U.S. war vets who had fought valiantly and bravely by his side under his command in the Revolutionary War? He killed them because they wouldn't pay a tax that he imposed on whiskey that was higher than the taxes on tea they'd fought the British over.
Fought a war partially over a 3% beverage tax, imposed a 25% beverage tax on the people that fought the war.
Yeah. And, you know, anybody
it was constitutional.
Yeah. And anybody who says, you sound like you don't love American exceptionalism. I love a lot of things about a lot of people in America, but I have to take them on individual levels, on an individual basis. I believe that collectivizing something as American exceptionalism is being collectivist. And collectivism, what is that the milieu of? What type of people, Lou?
That would be socialists,
yeah.
Communists,
yep.
Status. But I repeat myself. But yeah. One thing I do have to correct you on, Michael. We put a man on the moon in 1969 before I was born. I was part of that.
I was five. I did it. I built that. I was five and sitting on my daddy's lap going, this is so cool. The government is great. Now, here's the thing. I recently took some fire for bashing pop scientist Neil deGrasse Tyson. And it was really based on the fact, you know, the thing I was bashing him was based on the fact that he makes false claims in passing. And then that's okay. I mean, maybe not for a scientist, but people make mistakes. But he never, never corrects them when called on them even. And Even a bigger issue is his fans defend him to the death and like won't let you put on, you know, they'll edit off Wikipedia that you said he has a history of, you know, when you say the truth about him and they don't like it. They're generally atheists who have a religion, and their religion is Neil deGrasse Tyson. We've seen that in the Liberty Movement with other people. But I didn't mention what I really dislike intently about Neil deGrasse Tyson. He is he loves NASA. Not NASA, the country near the Bahamas, but NASA, the space program. When I was a kid, I loved NASA too, but I was five and didn't know better. Neil deGrasse Tyson's a grown man. He should know better. But here's the thing. NASA is not something to support, because NASA is the research team for the drone spy program, the drone murdering program. And if you take one letter out of it, yes, the NSA. I mean, NASA is basically an arm of the NSA. So you cannot say, I love America and I love NASA and we have to support it on one hand, and on the other hand say, I don't like the government spying on Americans with drones and spying on our phones and emails and internets, because it's all the same. You can't, you know, you can't fix it and take the pee out of the pool and make it good.
Well, NASA is a one-hit wonder like so many 80s bands.
60s bands too, man.
Yeah.
60s, yeah. That was their hit.
Yeah, the great accomplishment was going to the moon. Ben Stone, our co-host and hosted BadQuaker.com, Bad Quaker Podcast, talked about this. And I've heard a few people discuss this. In the early days of NASA, the early 60s, leading up to the 69 moon mission, you had innovation and you had a bunch of people that were in there trying to make things happen. After a while, the bureaucracy set in, and instead of working on making improvements and doing the next great mission, they concentrated on maintaining their funding, and they tried to live off the success of the moon mission. Success has to be renewed daily.
Yeah.
You can't just live off of the royalties of one hit song or one trip to a floating rock in the sky. You have to innovate new ways of doing things. You have to put out new records. You have to, you know, actually do something to remain relevant.
Yeah.
Although the Rolling Stones, you know, you caught me on this. What are the last five albums put out by the Rolling Stones? Nobody knows.
They don't even know. 15 records. Yeah. Yeah. They were a relevant band, and I really liked them. They were, you know, basically when you stop scaring the old people and become the old people, it's probably time to, go work on your investment portfolio instead of touring, even if people are willing to pay to see you tour. It's, you know, it's kind of embarrassing. I don't know, when a rock musical group tour is sponsored by Depends.
I will work hard to scare old people until the day I die.
I am old people. You scare me. I'm 50. I'm 50.
You're 100 because you turned 50 twice in one weekend.
You'll never let me forget that. Yeah. I like.
I don't even think that was my joke in the first place. That had to be somebody else. That sounds like a Davi joke.
So, yeah, LibPair. What is LibPair? How do you spell it?
LIB-PAR.
No, there's no dash, man. It's done camel case, like the names of software products. It's capital L, small I, B, capital P, small A-R. It looks like LibPAR, but I invented it so I can say how it's named. It's LibPair. It's like Newspeak, like 1984 speak for libertarian paradise. And it's just, I got sick of saying in theoretical conversation, saying, well, in a libertarian paradise, the roads would be private, blah, 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 and heroin would be available in vending machines as long as the vending machines are privately owned and operated. In grade schools. But I got sick of saying libertarian paradise. It's so many syllables that I just shortened it to LibPair, and it kind of caught on. So you've been hanging out in LibPair. We don't have to wait for LibPair. It's here in temporary autonomous zones, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the whole point of fighting for liberty is to actually enjoy some of it while you're doing the fighting. You need your R&R. You need to go on pass for the weekend from the battle. And I've done a few things lately. The listeners have probably heard the broadcast from the Michigan Peace and Liberty Coalition's Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest. That was a hoot. And that was really neat because we got a bunch of people in from the Illinois tax farm, Chicago area. As a matter of fact, there was a guy that heard you and I think Bill talking about the event the night before the radio show on this show here. And he heard it and he jumped on his motorcycle and he came on out and got a chance to meet him and shoot the bull for a little while.
Nice. So those 8 months of radio ads paid off because one person heard the last one and showed up.
Well, there's a fair number of people that heard about it because of the Fiends. And like last year, there were people that heard about it because of Ben advertising on his podcast.
I think that we might almost have to change the unofficial name of it to Fiend Fest, and I might have to actually show up.
I think that would be a darn good idea.
Although that's kind of culty, you know, maybe it could just kind of be, it already is kind of Fiend Fest, but I think calling it Fiend Fest would look really culty. It would look like we have an inner circle or something.
Well, that would look like you came in and took it over.
I homesteaded a ring around it so no one could leave.
Nobody wants to leave. But not only that, I went down to Pennsylvania to visit Karen and Jamin. They were on the School Sucks podcast around about the same time as you were. And got a chance to check out their little homestead there. And it's really interesting, the permaculture stuff. I don't know a whole lot about it, but I am learning a bit more about it. You look at the yard and all these different plants growing and you're like, oh my God, what a mess. But then as one of them are taking you through there, they're telling you what this plant does to help that plant out, how this plant draws in beneficial insects and how that plant drives away the bad ones. And it's just really, really wild on how all this stuff works. And they've got food all over the place.
Do they grow worms?
As a matter of fact, they do, and I even sent a video of his daughters playing with the worms. I posted it on the Freedom Feeds page.
I really liked that. It was funny. And he had them say, worms.
Yeah. And then I think it was last weekend, I was on Anarchy Island down in Indiana.
What's that? Is that like no man's zone state-wise?
No, it's an island on a private lake. The Homeowners Association maintains it. They have people that go out there and cut the grass and clean stuff up and build rock walls, plant trees, bushes, all that other good stuff. And we went out there. We camped on it.
Did you duel?
No, we did not duel.
Okay. We'll be back with more about enjoying libertarian paradise rather than just talking about it and fighting about it and bashing tyranny against it. Go out and have some, man. It's fun. We'll be back on the Freedom Fiends.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof. My fellow sheep, election season is upon us. Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? Then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. Our democracy depends on it. We're an organization called Citizens Against Too Much Unfettered Freedom, or CATMUF. CATMUF is a bipartisan flock of sheep whose goal is expanding government until nothing else remains. Because the government is here to help you. How can you help CATMUF help you? By only voting for candidates dedicated to expanding government. It's easy. You don't need to study the issues. No matter what a politician says when running for office, they're all dedicated to expanding government. And make sure you tell all your friends and family to vote for more government. Here at CATMUF, we don't care if you vote Democrat or Republican, as long as you vote for candidates committed to growing our federal family. CATMUF, because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
If you hear any background noises, any power tools or hammering, that's the workmen, the illegal immigrants from Canada that I've hired to build a 14-foot fence around our property. So, Lou.
You're building a fence?
Yeah.
Don't you know that fences are meant to keep kitties in, not out?
Kitties. Well, we do. We want to keep our kitties in. We're homesteading them because they're so plump and luscious. No.
You're a dictator.
Well, voluntarily with people I like and cats that need a stern and loving hand to protect them from coyotes. One of our cats survived being in the mouth of a coyote once.
That was Charlie, right?
Yep. She's 16 now. She's an old kitty, but she's still happy.
I bet the coyote didn't see 16.
Probably not in Los Angeles. I think they, I don't know, maybe they protect them and take them to Catalina Island and let them run free.
Yeah, who's protecting dogs in Los Angeles? The cops, LOL.
Yeah, no, they shoot dogs in Los Angeles and elsewhere.
Let's get back to Lib Pair, man.
Yeah, man, so Libertarian Paradise, you've been hanging out in some, huh? And then you have to do your laundry.
Yeah, I go to Lib Pair on the weekends. I come back around like Wednesday or Thursday to do a show and do laundry. And because there's no laundromats or internet in Lib Pair because there's no government. Roads either, so I'm not sure how you get back. But anyway.
I don't think that you make it sound like there would be no roads or internet in Lib Pair without the government. But there can be internet, and there's solutions. I just ordered a second internet account. It's DSL. That's a whole nother story of why I've gone back 10 years to DSL. But it's got to do with doing the show. But I'll tell my quick Lib Pair story was when I was a starving artist about 10 years ago, I made this movie about writer Hubert Selby, the author of Last Exit to Brooklyn and Requiem for Dream, made a documentary about him, and got flown to France to show it in a film festival. The film festival flew me there, put me up in a 5-star hotel. I was literally staying like sandwiched in rooms between Pierce Brosnan's suite and Robert Downey Jr.'s suite. And when I was leaving to catch the town car that they provided back to Paris, and this is in Deauville, France. I was taking a car about an hour back to Paris to fly back to San Francisco. I'm not saying that like a homophobic thing. I'm saying that like, socialists. But yeah, they're gay for socialism in San Francisco. So Pierce Brosnan was in the elevator with me when I was leaving. He was, we were the only people in the elevator, and I don't drink. I haven't had a drink in 20 years, but I was like dropping things and I'd only slept like an hour. And I didn't know who was in the elevator. I wasn't really looking. And, and I was picking my things up, and I picked them up and kind of stuffed them back in my bag. And he said, "Oh, I had too much to drink did a bit too much partying last night." I was like, "I know that voice." And I looked up, it was Pierce Brosnan. I was like, I'm tired, man. And he said, "We all are." I don't know if he meant we all are because it's a film festival and everyone's partying, or just humanity, but I like that line. We all are tired. So then I, after staying in this 5-star hotel and being driven around by French, drivers in town cars and feeling like a rock star for a week, I went back to San Francisco and I went to do my laundry. I didn't have enough money to do a load of laundry, so I ended up like washing my socks out in the sink with dishwashing soap. So, you know, it's all good, man. All the flavors of humanity, and we always figure out a way to survive, and I'm not doing that anymore. We have a nice washer and dryer now. I'm very proud of our washer and dryer. We built that. So, how's Lib Pair, man? And then you got to come home and do your laundry?
Yeah, it was pretty good. Anarchy Island. One of the neat things about it was I finally cooked breakfast over a campfire with cast iron cookware. So I had my hash browns with onions and green peppers going in there. And usually I'll brown off some pork sausage and put it into little pieces and dump that in, turn it into like a sausage hash, or use roast beef or corned beef, whatever. And then I was also deep frying bacon in a large skillet. And I just took like 2 pounds of bacon, threw it in there, got the grease going, spread it around a little bit, and pull it out right before you think it's done, because it's actually done, and it'll keep cooking after you take it out of there because all the grease is going. But yeah, we had practice bacon, we had regular bacon, also whipped up some scrambled eggs with diced bacon and chopped zucchini in there, and yeah, it was a hoot.
Wow. Somehow that reminds me of like the gold rush, you know, the California gold rush. And did you know that in the gold rush, when it was really cold and they were using dynamite blasting to get to new veins of gold, if it's really cold, it wouldn't work. So they'd have to warm up sticks of dynamite in a pan like they're cooking breakfast. You think your job is dangerous? Think about if that was part of your job description, warming dynamite over a campfire in a skillet.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Hey, this is some Squiscar Squig Elves from Death Clocks. And you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the you know, the radios. And I guess I says worms now, so there you go.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed,
buy sheep for sheep on sheep,
and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $10 for 5 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Freedom Fiends. It's Michael Dean. Lucander Fiend is telling us about hanging out in LibPair or Libertarian Paradise. Yes, it's here now. You don't have to wait until you restore the Republic by voting the right great men in to replace the snakes now. That ain't going to work. You don't have to have an armed revolution. You don't, although, you know, guns are nice and we like them and we have them, but guns are for hunting and sport shooting and burglars. They are not going to save you from the biggest army in the world that has drones. And there's other ways to get there, man. The blockchain. We can all ride the magical blockchain. No, man, just go camping with a bunch of friends in a place with no laws and no one gets hurt. Tell me more about it, Lou. I'm interested and wish to subscribe to your newsletter.
Voting is like a video game. After you hit the touch screen, it should say game over. Would you like to play again in 2 years? LibPair, the opposite of state pair, is...
state land. I was talking about shooting on state land, which is common and easy in the Mountain West, or at least in the state in which I reside, which is where Beast Lick, Wyoming is. And somebody made a joke the other day when I was talking about state land. Oh, Davi said, state land, worst amusement park ever. We're going to state land for our vacation. Yeah. So go on.
But with LibPair, yeah, it's going camping and having fun and recreation. It's also meeting people that you haven't met before in real life. It's establishing a network of friends, building a non-geographical community. That way, if you feel that you are lost in a sea of status and you're looking for a life raft, you know that they're out there. And you can actually meet them in real life, you know, either at a festival or if you find out somebody lives not too far from you. Go hang out for a weekend or have a meetup, something like that.
A meetup? Is that what you kids are calling it these days?
Yeah, yeah. In the MPLC, Michigan Peace and Liberty Coalition, every month we have a meetup. We get together at a local restaurant and discuss the issues that are important to us, things that we want to do, whether it's activism or activities. And from there, you know, we go about living our lives rather than just facing the flag, raising our fist to the sky and shaking it at the state and saying, stop it, stop it, stop it. Just go around it.
Yeah. I think a lot of people's like waiting for liberty and spending all their time gnashing their teeth and stimulating their limbic system and worrying about the tyranny. I think that a lot of what that does is just keeps you from getting to liberty. You know, it's kind of like kicking a skyscraper too. And you really just you kind of wait for the skyscraper. You don't even have to wait for it to tumble. You just wait for you just do activities that don't involve the people in the skyscraper to the point where they just stop showing up for work because no one's paying them.
Yeah, and if you're voting or protesting or calling your rep 3 times a day to remind them how to vote, incidentally, if you have to call them 3 times a day to remind them how to vote, you probably shouldn't have voted him in there in the first place because it means he's a moron or she. But rather than doing those things, I mean, all that is like saying that stealing underpants creates liberty. Liberty comes from action. And this Sunday, I'm going out to an event. I believe it's the first event of the Free Rangers. The Free Rangers... is unscouting. It's like the Boy Scouts where they learn the outdoor survival skills. This Sunday is going to be a land navigation exercise. So people are going to learn how to read a map. You know, these kids are going to learn how to read a map. And
but I have maps, Google Maps on my phone.
That's true. But, you know, there may be a time where your battery is dead because these things happen every once in a while.
Or Obama hits the internet kill switch.
Yeah, I think that's one thing they can't kill. But they're going to learn how to read a map, so they'll see roads and everything else. And then they're also going to learn about how to read a topographical map, which shows the terrain features, the hills, the ridges, and all that other stuff. And they're going to learn how to use a compass, identify the different trees and plants and animals that are in the area. And we're going to go out on a little nature hike. There's going to be a real short one for the youngsters, medium range for the medium age kids, and then a longer one for the older kids.
And so it's kind of like the Army without the statism and not at taxpayers' expense.
Yeah, it's Boy Scouts without all the nationalism and the praying to the state and everything else. And there's going to be badges too.
Are they shiny?
I don't know. But I've heard that there may be a badge that you have to turn it upside down, and then when you help a little old lady set up her first Bitcoin wallet, that's when you get to turn it right side up.
Yeah, are you using Davi's badges for this? Davi Barker's shiny badges pins.
I don't know. Sunday, I'm going to talk to some of the organizers and see if they want to get with Davi and come up with some badges.
Yeah,
because he's got really good stuff.
Davi Barker is one of our co-hosts. He does the site shinybadges.com. And he actually makes lapel pins, like die-cast lapel pins that are liberty-minded, but also makes cheaper, because those cost a lot to set each one up, and they cost more money to make. But he also does what the Fiends do, which is makes buttons, you know, pins, which are very inexpensive to make to the point where you can give them away. And he has a book called Zombie Max that has a scout troop, a stateless scout troop, a Liberty scout troop called the Pork Scouts. And this kind of sounds like the Pork Scouts in real life, although I like the name Pork Scouts for his book, but I kind of like the name Free Rangers better for the thing in real life. I like that.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a good little program. There's going to be chapters set up all over the place. It's decentralized. And if you want a little bit more information about it, you can go to free-rangers.org.
Ooh, they have a website. They're legit, man. That's cool. Yeah.
Well, the idea only came up just maybe a month ago. That's it.
I thought you were going to say last night and say, like, well, the DNS may not have propagated for everyone yet, so try back in a few hours if you haven't.
Well, I'm in Detroit, and if I can see it, everybody can see it. That includes the backwoods people in the Middle East.
Yeah.
Bedouins are looking at it on their smartphones.
Before you can see things in Detroit. It's true.
Right.
We found that out, man.
Right.
Let's see, free-rangers.com. This domain has been...
ORG.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because I was like, it has a, like, coming soon, ORG. Free-rangers.org. Ah, yes, about the Free Rangers. I'm looking at it now. Nice. Badges. So tell me more about Libertarian Paradises you have recently... Oh, they have 22 rifle proficiency. I like it. Billy's First Rifle. I have a Billy's First Rifle. I have a... Marlin 60, I think it is. Ruger Marlin. No, who makes the Marlin 60? I don't know.
Marlin.
Yeah. I have a Marlin 60. Oh, and my wife has a Ruger 22. Yeah. We got a couple 22s. They're really fun because you can shoot all day for the price of a burger, pretty much.
Well, with like the Ruger 10/22, there's a lot of modifications that you can do.
You can make an assault 22 out of it.
You can make a sniper 22 out of it.
How?
By getting a heavy barrel competition trigger set up. There's some little things that you can do playing around with the innards of it. But and then also putting a good thumb hole stock on there or a good competition stock. You can really trick those things out and just turn it into a tag driver.
A tag driver. Yeah. Could you shoot a 22 Magnum from them?
They do have a model that is chambered in 22 Magnum.
Okay. Because that's a serious cartridge. I've actually heard of people using that for self-defense in pistols or revolvers.
Well, you can use a 22 long rifle as a self-defense round, too.
Yeah, the thing is, though, it'll absolutely probably kill anything you shoot with it, but it might take a while and it might not stop them. 22 yeah. is a 22 is people on drugs or alcohol or just rage have been shot with a bunch of 22s and kept fighting for about a minute or two, and people can do a lot of damage in that situation even with their hands.
I think the headshot takes care of that, and if you have a non-floating barrel semi-automatic 22 pistol, meaning a fixed barrel, it is very, very accurate.
So all of a sudden, Lou knows like 10 times as much about guns as I do, and I've never even heard you talk about guns. Where have you been hiding all this?
In my windowless bunker.
You and I have never talked guns. You're like, oh yeah, I have a gun. Yeah.
The first time I shot a 22 rifle, it was too big for me to hold.
Wow. Yeah.
I started out with a Red Ryder BB gun, and I used to shoot out in the backyard, and there was an old metal laundry line type thing. And every time I shot it and I heard the ting from the BB hitting it,
yeah,
that was my little magic thing. Yeah, because when you're shooting and you hit the bullseye, and there's nothing better than...
Yeah, I like reactive targets a lot better than paper targets, man. I like to hear it or see it move.
Yeah, but there's nothing better than walking down range and seeing that you shot 110x. There's nothing better than shooting a metal target and hearing the ting, letting you know that you hit where you were aiming for.
Yeah. I had a gun, I had a rifle when I was a kid, and then... like grew up and got all this socialist indoctrination and didn't touch a gun till I was 40 and thought guns were evil from like, I don't know, 17 to 40 and thought only the military and police should have guns. And then got into guns when I was 40 and just went gun nutty, like to the point of, you know, I mean, there's what is it that Ted Nugent says? I don't like him much, but he said, the right to keep and bear arms means I've got some on me now. And that's not one on me now, and it's not one in the closet or in a drawer. It's some on me now. And, I mean, there's at least two loaded guns on the on the desk in front of me. And there's, you know, a few loaded rifles within 4 foot, 5 footsteps of me. But I had – it was really weird the way I was trained with a gun was my dad basically handed me a rifle when I was 12 and said, here – have fun. Like, I don't recommend that. I don't recommend handing guns to kids without giving them any kind of training. But yeah, we lived out in the sticks, man. We lived in the, you know, I mean, our backyard was, you know, we lived on like 5 acres, and then we butted it up against, you know, 5,000 acres of state land. I mean, and this is in New York State. Like, you'd probably go to prison as a child for doing this now, and you'd probably go to prison for letting a child do this. But he just handed me a 22 and a little box of 50 bullets and showed me how to load it once, and then just like let me go out in the backyard with it whenever I wanted. It's pretty sweet. I don't recommend that. Little training and supervision is good at first. Was that too square, or do you agree, Lou?
It's a little square, but we'll talk about that when we come back.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Ross Ulbricht was arrested by the FBI in 2013 and charged with victimless crimes in relation to allegedly operating the Bitcoin-based Silk Road black market. He has been in a prison cell awaiting trial ever since. If he did it, he's a hero for making the black market a safer place. If he did not, he's a man wrongfully accused. Either way, if you love freedom and want to end the war on drugs, Ross and his family need your support. You can learn more and help fund his defense at FreeRoss.org. That's FreeRoss.org.
I like it. I like that you woof. You woof when we meow. It's a conflict is the essence of drama. So We're having gun chat here, and we went to the break with me sounding really square. I want to clarify, I did not say that children should not have free access to rifles. I think, well, some children are different than others. There's kids I wouldn't trust near a slingshot because they would immediately try to hurt property or life with it. You know, neighbor's cat, neighbor's son, your window, things like that. But I think by 12, some children can be responsibly able to have their own access to the 22. What I was saying was I think it's a bad idea to hand a kid a gun without without teaching him the four rules of gun safety and drilling it into his head. I'm a real stickler for those four rules of gun safety, and I think they should be taught to everybody. I'm actually kind of disturbed how many people violate them who are avid shooters who have been shooting their whole life. I have been out shooting with people a lot, generally people I don't know, people I run into out on state land, who do things like sweep themselves and other people with the barrel of a loaded gun. People who walk around with their finger on the trigger of a gun. People who are not aware of their target, what's behind it and what's beyond it. You know, I don't like that, man. I want to have people know those things intuitively all the time. What say you, Lou? You still going to call me square?
I'm going to call you square-ish because it did come off kind of squarish.
Why? Even though I've explained it, it still comes off as squarish?
Well, now that you explained it, it comes off a lot better. Interesting story. I grew up in the suburbs of Detroit, so I lived in a city, but it's not the big city. My backyard used to be a park, and then it became all overgrown and everything else. So I know you can't even walk through. There's no trails, nothing.
Too many dead bodies hidden in the weeds.
No, there's a river for that. But growing up there, and I had BB guns that I was able to shoot in the backyard as before it was illegal. I would go visit some friends of the family for a couple weeks in the summer north of Detroit. Kind of in the Flint area. It's very rural, farmland, everything else. And I was outside with a pellet rifle, a 17 caliber pellet rifle, and I wasn't shooting it yet. And somebody had come by to visit, and he says, "Oh, that's a nice 22 you got there." And I'm thinking to myself, "Oh my God, a kid with a 22, what does this guy think?" But there, it's normal.
Yeah.
And something that you have to consider, and particularly for the audience that's our age and above, I mean, I'm not as old as you. If it's illegal to do with your kids today what you did way back when without harming anybody, you have to wonder where all this comes from. I mean, is it really that bad that it has to be codified into law that you have to surrender money like an indulgence to Pope Leo X to get out of trouble, or you have to go sit in a cage for a arbitrary amount of time to pay your debt to society, even though society was not harmed by your actions?
I think it comes from security moms and security dads. Do you know what that term?
Yeah,
it's kind of
yeah.
Like soccer moms, but it's soccer. It's actually a demographic that was identified and created by those people like Frank Luntz, who you know, tell politicians what to say they believe in to help them get elected. Security moms are
they're soccer moms that are afraid of a soccer ball because it might have an IED in it.
Exactly. They are, yeah. And they're not just women. They're men and women who are highly manipulatable by the media and by pop culture and by politicians to demand, think of the children, pass more laws.
They are the ones that worry. They're in constant fear of dying in a terrorist attack, yet they drive on the highways every single day where more people are killed on a single day in the U.S. highways than in years of terrorist attacks against the U.S.
Yeah, and they respect the state and respect police. And you're 8 times more likely to die in America at the hands of a cop than you are at the hands of a terrorist. And that's factoring in all the people killed in 9/11.
And that's a lowball number.
They'll shoot your dog, too, man. And apparently your cat.
But not coyotes, because they're protected.
Not wolves. They just unprotected wolves in Wyoming. They were issuing permits to shoot them for a while, but now they're protected again. But you know what they say in Wyoming? Shoot, shovel, shut up. I've heard people say that. I don't know what it means.
I've heard that said in Detroit, too.
Oh, man.
We'll talk about that later.
Okay. We'll be back for hour two after this break. To the market.
Are you a political activist who does things that the government might not like? Then this free ebook may save your life. Rats is your guide to protecting yourself against snitches, informers, informants, agents provocateur, narcs, finks, and similar vermin. Rats was written by OG libertarian Claire Wolf. Rats is a short book, easy to read, and available free in many formats. Download Rats free at rats-nosnitch.com. That's rats-nosnitch.com.
Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
Michael Dean, we got Lou Sander Fiend on the other end of the inner tubes, and I got some good news here. First of all, I am diligently working daily on my how to podcast video, and you know, I've been talking about this for a month, and people, you know, probably thinking like, it's a little tutorial video on YouTube, why aren't you done? No, it's like an hour and a half movie that probably has more edits in it, certainly than Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle. It's a more complex endeavor than making that DVD. It might even be approaching the number of edits and things that I had to do to make it that Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom have, which is a pretty long, complicated movie as far as editing. And, you know, to get good quality, I'm not just like yakking into a, you know, webcam. I'm like filming this on high def video, color correcting it, doing some, you know, voiceover replacement where stuff didn't get recorded well. And it's going to be pretty cool, man, but I'm getting closer to having a beta cut to show some friends. And I'm really psyched about that. Are you psyched about that, Lou?
I am psyched.
Because, you know, the Freedom Fiends are the first. We were the first podcast to evolve into a syndicated radio show on a bunch of stations. That has not happened in history. It actually happened in history once, and the people got on like one station and then stopped doing shows. They pod faded. So we're the first people to do it successfully. I would still say we're the first people to do it. You know, if someone jumps into the river and drowns, I don't say that they are the first to successfully deal with that river or cross it. So the second news is the Fiends are now on Roku, R-O-K-U. Do you know what Roku is, Lou?
No, but I'm sure it's something cool.
It is really cool. And Daryl Perry from Free Talk Live got LRN, Liberty Radio Network, is now on Roku. So literally, this is the only thing we're on so far that plays us live, syndicated, seven shows a week. Every show live during our live slot. You know, well, a lot of our shows, a lot of the stations we're on just on weekends, or we're on just on nights, or, you know, if we are on seven, we're on 7 days on a couple channels, stations, but you know, it's delayed, like the weekend ones aren't live. So this is the first thing we're on live. Roku is a set-top box that several million people have and subscribe to. It's like a, you know, it's kind of like a cable box for running internet channels over your TV. Like, you know, you can get internet radio on it. You can get YouTube on it without having a separate dedicated computer, and it's a lot cheaper and it's easier to navigate. So it's a pretty cool thing that Daryl Perry from Free Talk Live got LRN, Liberty Radio Network, on Roku. So that's, we're on Genesis Communications Network, syndicated by them, sub-syndicated by Liberty Radio Network, and sub-syndicated there by Roku. So, yeah, man, it goes all the way down the looking glass wormhole.
I am so psyched about this. If I was in New York State, they would send a SWAT team after me.
You're so psyched about this in New York State, they'd probably send you a tax bill for owning a unlicensed set-top box.
Or unlicensed psychedness.
Yeah, they'd send you a bill for $6,000 at the end of the year. And then send a SWAT team if you don't pay it. So we also are excited because we have a new segment. Lou has invented a new segment that is so cool. I'm amazed no one's ever come up with this. If anybody had come up with this, it probably would have been like The Tonight Show. It kind of reminds me of Jaywalking, you know, where Jay Leno goes out and asks idiots questions, like, you know, like shows them a picture of a bunch of the Supreme Court judges and they're all like, I don't know who that is. And then they show them a picture of Judge Judy and they all know who Judge Judy is. It's on the level of that kind of brilliance. What is, okay, first of all, I want to explain what The Onion is. Go ahead.
Okay, the segment is going to be called, Is It Real or Is It The Onion?
Yeah, The Onion is a satire website. It used to be an actual magazine that's really funny. It predates like The Daily Show and Colbert by many years of that kind of, but it's that kind of, they were probably inspired by The Onion. It's basically fake news that's kind of believable to the point where it's actually, articles from The Onion have actually been republished in mainstream media in the U.S. and abroad as actual news before people figure out it's fake. But should we first read an Onion headline just to kind of explain?
I'm not going to tell you which is which. You're going to have to figure it out. But I do have a little side note for you on The Onion. They also produce videos that get posted on YouTube. And there was one video that looks like Congress is discussing a martial law takeover of the country. And I mean, it's just really, really horrible. And it has the Onion logo down in the lower right-hand corner. A guy that I know posted that on his Facebook page and says, oh my God, this is ridiculous. Something has to be done. Yeah. He is currently a sitting member in the U.S. House of Representatives.
Oh man. What was the article he thought was real?
It was a video. It shows like a congressional hearing and the guy is reading off, okay, such and such, you know, amount of money will be funneled into program name redacted, and I just all this stuff. I'll try and dig it up sometime. Hilarious.
And The Onion is getting more and more. They used to just kind of be bipartisan hate, you know, like making fun of both parties. But I kind of get this vibe that they're getting a little more like libertarian or anarcho-capitalist. Like they seem like they used to just make fun of both parties, and now they seem kind of like they're actively making like going hard in the paint against both parties. So here's a real Onion headline. Obama informs nation anarchy will reign during search for new attorney general.
I wish. Okay. Are you ready to play the game, Michael?
And you say you wish because anarchy does not mean chaos and murder and blood in the streets. It simply means an absence of government, which doesn't usually lead to, it usually leads to less violence because you don't have governments being violent. And any case where people say, like, if you don't like government, move to Somalia. Somalia is not anarchy. Somalia is a bunch of warlords funded by the U.S. government fighting against each other. And, you know, it's a failed socialist state, basically. It's not free of government. It's still got people clinging to that. So, yeah, go on.
And interestingly enough, the World Bank published a report not too long ago touting the wonderful gains that have been made in Somalia since statelessness. Really, the problem in Somalia lies in Mogadishu. It appears that they don't have a central government to stop all the warlords that are fighting to become, guess what? Wait for it. Here it is. The central government.
Yeah.
But anyway, all right, let's play the game here.
Okay. Headline number Drum roll, one. Please. Drum roll, please. Give me a headline.
Is it real or is it The Onion? Jailed woman released after lab test proves spoon residue was SpaghettiOs, not meth.
Okay. I have to confess, I know that this is real, not The Onion, but if I didn't know, I would think it was The Onion, and that's the kind of world we live in. Tell me a little about that story real quick.
Okay, this comes from BenSwan.com. A 23-year-old woman in Gainesville, Florida, or Georgia, Ashley Gabriel Huff, was arrested.
I thought it was in Florida.
It says Georgia, okay. But anyway. She was arrested as a passenger in a vehicle, and there was a dirty spoon found in there that had SpaghettiO residue on it. She tried to explain to the cops that it was SpaghettiO residue and not crystal meth, but the drug cops who specialize in finding people with drugs couldn't tell the difference between tomato sauce and meth.
I could tell the difference without testing it, because meth residue on a spoon is either burnt, you know, dark. Well, if you're stupid and use a match to cook meth, which you don't need to and shouldn't. I don't know how I know this stuff. Okay, I'm a 20-year sober recovering drug addict. Yeah, SpaghettiO residue is kind of orangey. You could tell. It's not meth. Idiots. Cops. She ended up in jail facing, like, they were trying to get her to do a plea, to plead guilty with no prison time and have a felony record. And she was considering doing it because that's what they do now. They just arrest you. Cops are almost never liable, and you can almost never sue them for wrong arrest if, you know, they dot their I's on the paperwork. So this is the world we live in. I really almost want to leave America. And there's probably people listening saying, yeah, you should leave America. But it's not that easy to leave America, man. I want America to leave me. How's that? I want this kind of stuff to leave me alone, to where I don't like the fact I gave up drugs 20 years ago. I haven't had a drink or a drug. And I really resent the fact, first of all, that drugs are illegal, because the war on drugs does far more harm than the drugs themselves, and leads to the war on guns, and the war on your choosing your health care, and the war on your money. And they, you
lemonade
know,
lemonade stands.
Yeah, lemonade stands. And it's pretty common for the cops to pull someone over, find cash on them, and just steal it. They just take it now and say, well, you got to get a lawyer to get it back because this might be drug money. That's really common. And think about all of the, I wouldn't say honest reasons someone could have money, because I don't think it's dishonest to have money from drugs, because I think whatever people put in their body, no matter how stupid they are to put it in their body, it's their business. But, you know, think about all the non-illegal things you could have a bunch of money for. You could be coming from, you know, you could be the treasurer of your church outreach group raising money for charity. And if you have, you know, $3,000, $3,261.42 in cash in your car, and a cop pulls you over and finds it, they can and likely will steal it in a lot of places these days. And then you have to spend 10 or 20 grand on an attorney to try to get it back. And most people don't. They just say, well, I just have to vote harder.
Hey, what's the difference between the crooked Mexican cops that shake down tourists and steal their loot and American cops?
The cops in Mexico, they take your money and let you go on your way.
And say thank you afterwards.
Yeah.
But let's put a little bit more icing on this SpaghettiO's cake here. She was arrested, and there's no evidence. There's only suspicion. She was released from jail through a drug court program, but was reincarcerated on August 2nd after she missed a scheduled appointment. She remained in jail for 47 more days as she could not afford to post bond before crime lab results confirmed her claim that the spoon residue was indeed spaghetti sauce.
You know, I'll tell you
whatever happened to innocent until proven guilty.
Yeah.
She just did a 47 day stretch for having dirty silverware in the car that it doesn't sound like it was even hers.
Yeah. You know, I got to say, a minor point of this that most people probably wouldn't consider is the drug. What was she released on? Drug what?
It was through a drug court program.
Okay. That means she was forced to go to NA meetings or AA meetings. I remember sitting in NA meetings voluntarily, and sometimes people were court ordered and would say, like, I'm not an addict, I don't belong here. And people in NA would kind of smirk and be like, yeah, you're in denial. But it probably can happen, because this lady wasn't a drug user. So there.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Hi, this is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends Radio Show. The internet has lowered the cost barrier for a worldwide radio show to a price approaching zero. Yet there is one arena where you still need thousands of dollars to approach the audio quality of the corporate media. Doing a live spoken show with more than one host in different geographic locations. Our program, Fiend Phone, will solve that problem, and it will be given away free. Go to fiendphone.com to see what you can do to help. That's FEENPHONE.com.
Shiny badges on your jacket. Shiny badges. Yeah!
This is Davi Barker from shinybadges.com, and I just want to personally apologize for airing a jingle week after week, month after month, that turned out to be such an infectious brain worm. So to make it up to you, I'm offering a free gift. The next time you make a purchase at shinybadges.com, write worms in the transaction comments, and I'll send you something weird.
This is Michael Dean. No relation to that socialist skunk Howard Dean. And we got Lusander Fiend. So,
yep.
We're playing.
Yo.
What's the game we're playing called, Lou?
Is it real or is it The Onion?
Yep. Onion is a parody news site with fake news that's really funny but almost believable. So, what's number two on our countdown of the signs of evil?
Okay. The next contestant in Is It Real or Is It The Onion? Woman drowns after police threaten to arrest the men who were rescuing her.
Wow. Unfortunately, that's probably true. That's probably real.
It is. It appears that a woman was stuck in a drainage ditch, her vehicle was, down in El Paso, and the water table down there is the drainage down there is doodly squat. I was stationed down there. If it rains, everything floods. It doesn't just, you know, seep into the sand like you would hope for. But anyway, I guess these guys were trying to help her out. They were in the water. Cops came along and threatened to arrest them for, you know, helping out because if you don't have a shiny badge, you can't actually save a life, apparently. And while they were goofing around with, you know, bothering people trying to help, they got the guys out of the water, and I guess they forgot to go in and save her or something like that. But anyway, she's gone.
She died? So,
yeah, she's dead.
Wow. Did the guys get arrested or just threatened with arrest?
I don't know. It's hard to say.
Wow. Man, you know,
that's something we would have to follow.
I mean, occasionally police do rescue someone and do something heroic.
And by accident.
By accident. Well, occasionally they do. And, you know, but every show on TV, almost every show on TV, even if it's not a cop show these days, like, just portray police doing heroic things all day long. Like, that's their job description instead of arresting people who are having SpaghettiOs and putting them in jail, threatening them with prison.
Well, and that's... That's why television shows are called programming, to give people this false impression. You see, there is what you envision the police to be, and then there's what it actually is. And yeah. It's two separate things.
Yeah, the Freedom Fiends aren't radio programming. We're radio deprogramming.
Inoculation from indoctrination.
There you go.
Okay.
So I hope you're going to have some actual onions in here, too. Because it's not really the game unless you have some real onions in here.
Maybe I will, maybe I won't.
Okay, what do you got next?
Okay, Koch brothers encouraging youth to make voices heard by registering super PAC.
Real. It's not funny, so it's not The Onion.
I'm sorry, but it is The Onion.
Okay.
And what they're doing is they're trying to encourage the youth to set up 501c4 charities and be able to dominate the political landscape and get all the stuff that they want instead of just having older folks do it.
So this is a joke in The Onion?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Good game. I like this game.
Number four. Trigger happy cop shoots man for retrieving his license.
Well, I'm sure that's happened, so probably not The Onion.
It is true, and the rest of the headline is officer facing charges. Had I given you that part, you probably would have thought it was a spoof. Down in South Carolina, a cop decided that he was going to protect and serve the living daylights out of a young man who was driving and did not have a seatbelt on. And there is video of this out there. But anyway, the guy was at the gas station getting ready to pump gas. The cop comes rolling up behind him and demands the guy's driver's license. The guy reaches into his car to get the license. The cop panics because he's a security mom, and he lets off about four or five rounds and wound up hitting the guy in the hip. And then it's really horrible to hear the audio of this. You know, he asks the guy, he says, "Are you hit? All right, don't worry, you know, help's on the way, blah, blah, blah." But just absolutely no remorse in his voice whatsoever. It was just like, "Well, you should have been wearing your driver's license. That's why I shot you. You know, you moved too quickly. I got scared and wet myself." But this is one of those rare cases where the officer is actually facing charges, because usually the excuse will be it's according to policy. If it's according to policy, it's not really cold-blooded murder because it's policy.
I want a new planet. Can we 3D print one yet?
That is 3D printing 2.9. But Bill Gates has gotten into 3D printing, so there might be some real mess ups in there. Stay away from 3D printing 8.0.
All right. Obama vows to split ISIS into dozens of extremist splinter groups.
That is the Onion.
Yeah, but it's kind of what he's doing. He just hasn't vowed to do it.
It's real, but it's in the Onion.
Is it real or is it the Onion? Do we have more of these when we come back?
I don't know. We might talk about why I meow when everybody woofs and woof when everybody else meows.
Cool. I'd like to
more
know.
More Freedom Fiends coming up right after this.
Thank you.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed: The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Sometimes I like that. Bring us back in, brother.
This is the Freedom Fiends. Lusander Fiend and Michael Dean tasing you with liberty.
Yeah.
Playing with your kitties.
No, don't tase the kitties. Although cops probably have tased a kitty at this point.
Oh, I'm pretty sure. It reminds me of that little picture of the SWAT team guys pointing the gun at the cat and says paranoia because everything is terrorism.
Yeah, we actually used that in Guns and Weed: The Road to Freedom. But I didn't really like the picture itself, and I also didn't know about the usage rights of it, so I just hired a really good cartoonist to, like, I don't think he traced it. I think he did it freehand, but to draw the same image as a cartoon, and it worked even better.
Yeah, that's from the group Security Moms Demand Action.
Is it? But, is it?
No, I'm making that up.
It sounds
real.
You
can't tell when I'm being sarcastic. You can't tell when, oh, my God.
As they say on The Simpsons, are you being sarcastic? I don't even know anymore, man.
Yeah, it's just a natural state.
The two goth teenage boys, I don't even know anymore.
Speaking of natural state, as to why I woof when people meow and meow when people woof, and when people meow and woof, I say cock-a-doodle-doo. It's because I have a mental illness.
You can't comply. You can't do what the crowd's doing.
Right. I have what is called
oppositional defiant disorder.
Yeah.
You know, I wonder if that's an intentional backronym, because the abbreviation for it is ODD. ODD.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the case. And I do not take compliacin for it because, hey, I don't have a problem. But
I'm glad you don't take compliacin. If you took compliacin, you wouldn't be a very good show host.
Well, I make a joke with my friend's son that he's going to get hopped up on compliance, and he's one of these little homeschooler geniuses. Great kid, too. And as a matter of fact, I was at a party, and he was fetching cookies for me. So it's just as long as he stays exactly the way he is. But here's the thing. When you look at the mental health field, and I work in the mental health field, and mental illness is real. If you're talking about depression, panic, anxiety disorder, and some of these other things, these are real afflictions. The problem is when people get involved and use these things for an agenda. Take, for an example, with the oppositional defiant disorder and getting kids medicated and everything else. Really, oppositional defiant disorder is a kid that's just not buying the guff that's coming out of the teacher or the parent. ADHD? I mean, that's a kid that hasn't run around enough for the most part. Yeah.
Have you heard that the psychologist or psychiatrist, I think, who created the designation of ADHD recently did a reversal on it and said, after further research, that's not real. And that's just kids being kids and being like not allowed to be kids.
Yes, I have heard about that. And something else that's interesting.
And adults. It's the A's for adults. But, you know, it's adults who weren't allowed to function as kids and, you know, are penned in like veal under fluorescent lights, over-caffeinating. You know, the thing about like a lot of the problems in society are because people don't live the way people evolved to live. You know, think about your fight or flight response. You know, you can pump yourself with immense amounts of adrenaline and get kind of superhuman strength. It was basically so you could run away from a saber-toothed tiger. But and I'm not saying we need to wean that out of us, but you know, you sit in a little cubicle under fluorescent lights, drinking too much coffee, having too much nicotine, and then your boss comes in and says, I need a word with you. And you have the same response you'd have if a saber-toothed tiger was about to kill you. And that ain't
my boss
right.
Is a saber-toothed tiger.
There you go.
I work at the zoo.
Is he a saber-toothed tiger dad?
yeah. But here's the thing. When you look at what mental health has been used for, first of all, the DSM, yeah, it's a book that tells you what afflictions people have.
Big book of crazy, yeah.
Yeah, but it's also a billing manual. And each one of these things that's listed in there is actually a billable thing.
Yeah.
Now, when you start getting government involved and using it for political stuff, and the reason I bring this up is from a article by Wendy McElroy that was in the Dollar Vigilante, America's Book Critics, Soviet Style. The Soviet Union had a horrible history of using mental health, psychiatric, psychological diagnoses against dissidents as a justification to put them in prison.
If you didn't believe in the Communist Party, that had to be a mental illness, and that's not an exaggeration.
Yeah, and what it is people that don't go along and don't obey, people that think for themselves are considered crazy, and it's easy to look back at the Soviet Union and say, oh, well, you know, they invented this stuff. They invented tyranny.
Well, you know, talk therapy was invented by the Russians to get confessions out of people easier than beating them. That's true. That's. I'm not saying psychology is bad or talking out your problems is inherently bad or bad at all. I'm not saying psychology is inherently bad. But like so many things, it is used as a weapon against people.
Yes. Yes. To get the stuff off of your chest and get clarification and understanding of it is part of the road to recovery. It's when you have some statocrat that comes in here and uses against you and says, oh, well, you can't own firearms now because you are diagnosed with this. Yeah. Or you have to go to jail because you don't, you know, follow along. But this stuff didn't start with the Soviet Union.
It didn't start
20th century. Well, it's probably been going on for a fair amount of time, but I'm going to give you one that you're really going to love. And this comes from 1851. I believe the name of the diagnosis is pronounced drapetomania. Do you know what that is, Michael?
No, but I've probably got it. What is it?
Okay. It is Negro slaves running away from their plantations and their masters. It is a mental illness to describe that.
And that's the description. You're reading a description. That's not you're making that up. That's real, right? That was a description.
Right. The description. In Diseases and Peculiarities of the Negro Race, Cartwright points out that the Bible calls for a slave to be submissive to his master, and by doing so, the slave will have no desire to run away.
I want to run away from my slave masters.
Well, you have drapetomania.
Okay.
If the white man attempts to oppose the deity's will by trying to make the Negro anything else than the submissive knee bender, which the Almighty declared he should be, by trying to raise him to a level with himself, or by putting himself on an equality with the Negro, or if he abuses the power which God has given him over his fellow man by being cruel to him or punishing him in anger, or by neglecting to protect him from the wanton abuses of his fellow servants and all others, or by denying him the usual comforts and necessaries of life, the Negro will run away. But if he keeps him in the position that we learn from the scriptures he was intended to occupy, that is the position of submission, and if the master or overseer be kind and gracious in his hearing towards him without condescension, and at the same time ministers to his physical wants and protects him from abuses, the Negro is spellbound and cannot run away.
Oh, now, man, that is horrible.
But I mean, how status sounding is that? I mean, if you take out the references to Bible and God and religion and all this other stuff and you replace it with government.
And if you take out Negro and just put everyone, yeah.
Citizen.
Yeah.
Now, do you know the difference between a citizen and a slave? The citizen has absolute, or the slave has no misbeliefs about where he actually stands.
Yeah, but, and I've also heard it, you know, the difference between a citizen and a slave is a citizen can own a gun, but I don't want to be a citizen. I mean, being a citizen is signing a social contract by virtue of being born, which means you're a slave. And small government Republicans often refer to themselves as citizens and say, I want to be a citizen, not a slave. But being a citizen is just being a soft slave. And I really believe that you should be able to pick, if we're going to have nationalities, I think you should be able to pick your nationality like you can pick your cell phone provider. I would say like your internet provider, but in my town, there's pretty much only one for cable and one for DSL. And they both are so lacking, I've had to get both so I can have internet connectivity all the time and pay a lot of money for it.
You're going to love the prevention and remedy here. In addition to identifying drapetomania, Cartwright prescribed a remedy. His feeling was that with proper medical advice strictly followed, this troublesome practice that many Negroes have of running away can be almost entirely prevented. And that prevention that he was talking about, whipping the devil out of them as a preventive measure.
What year was this? And what country?
This is 1851.
In America?
Yes.
So when people say, I want to get the right men in there so we can restore the republic and go back to when things are good, is this the point they're trying to get back to?
It's possible. But doesn't that sound like the slaves have oppositional defiant disorder?
Yeah, we do.
Doesn't that sound like the slaves don't want to be slaves?
We don't want to be slaves.
Now, here's something else. Slaves would turn on their fellow slaves that were thinking of escaping.
Well, that's horizontal enforcement. We have that now where, you know, if you see something, say something. And, you know, I would say that the only big difference between Obama and all the other previous presidents is, you know, they say Obama won by mastering social media. I don't think it's just social media. I think it's an aspect of social media, which is basically crowdthink and collectivization and kind of making a god out of a human. All presidents have tried to do this, but Obama was really successful about it to the point where I have never in my lifetime seen the kind of worship for a master the way I have with Obama, to the point where literally, I mean, you talked about how the Soviets would institutionalize you as having mental illness if you didn't believe in the Soviet state. I see a lot of that on forums with Obama. Like, if you say something bad about Obama that's, you know, a reasonable thing that he does bad, a bad thing he does, his worshipers will jump on there and not only call you racist, but will literally say you have mental illness. And I've seen, you know, all the pet projects of the left, you know, human-caused global warming, which I'm not saying isn't possible. I'm saying the science is so muddled by agendas, it's hard to tell. You know, anti-gun right, you know, being against gun rights, being against collectivization, being against private charity in favor of public charity at the point of the barrel of a gun. If you criticize any of these things, people will say you have mental illness on the forums, which is, I don't go on the forums very much. I don't argue with people on Facebook. I don't need to because I have a radio show. And, you know, some people could say, well, I don't have a radio show. Well, that's your fault, because in 2006, I started podcasting and said, I'm going to turn this into a radio show. And I worked every day at it. And I'm coming out with a video soon on how to do a podcast. And if you follow everything in there, if you follow my demands, maybe one day you too can have a radio show. You can at least have a kick butt podcast.
The forums that you're talking about are an example of Stockholm Syndrome. Incidentally, Stockholm Syndrome is not in the DSM. So what has changed in the past 163 years?
We'll be back.
Not a heck of a lot.
With Cards Against Humanity.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Antiwar, pro-free market. That's Antiwar.com.
You've heard of shinybadges.com, but check out the new Causes tab. Every item includes a donation to a worthwhile Liberty project. Buy the Silk Road pin to contribute to the Ross Ulbrich Legal Defense Fund, or buy the Bitcoin Not Bombs t-shirt to contribute to Hoodie the Homeless 2014. Pick from many more. Go to causes.shinybadges.com and get yourself some quality Liberty products that not only start a conversation, but also put your money where your heart is. Plus, get a free gift when you pay with Bitcoin. Causes.shinybadges.com.
Freedom Fiends. All right, we're gonna do our last segment here with something we've been doing a lot, which is playing a quick round of the LibPair version of Cards Against Humanity. This deck was made by my friend Jim Jesus, and I helped on a couple of them. I wrote three or four of these 100 or so cards he has, and I did a bunch of proofreading, which is something I like to do because the world needs more of that. So Cards Against Humanity is a party game where you have a deck of cards that has calls and responses, and the idea is it's kind of like a party game for malcontents. You know, you come up with like dark or sarcastic things, and kind of the point of the game is to mix and match in ways that are just absurd and make no sense, or sometimes make a lot of sense. But you know, so if you hear these and they make no and they seem wrong, that's kind of the point of the game. So Lou's gonna be the pitcher, I'm gonna be the catcher. Go ahead and do some calls, and I'll do some random responses here, or ones that I think fit well. So go ahead.
Okay.
I will link these in the show notes too, because there's a printable PDF, and he keeps expanding this deck and making it better as time goes on. But pretty soon it's gonna be done, and you'll wanna print these out and play at home. And you can combine it with a regular Cards Against Humanity deck, or just play this deck alone. So go ahead, brother.
Instead of the gold standard, I propose our currency be tied to
a magic word you can say in court to get off scot-free.
I'm going to go with cop blocking.
Okay.
All right, next up. I would join the Free State Project, but New Hampshire has too much
open carrying or government guns. Yeah.
I was going to say ticks and mosquitoes.
But cultural Marxism. That's one.
Maybe that's just a pork fest. Okay.
Well, basically, Free State Project is is a bunch of liberty, and a bunch of Marxists have homesteaded a ring around it so no one can leave, which is another one of the cards.
Next up, blank. Trusted and used by Glenn Beck.
George Soros, trusted and used by Glenn Beck.
I was going to say Clorox bleach in his hair, but okay. Next up, a quote from Mises. You're all a bunch of blank.
Statists.
The original quote was socialists.
Yeah, I know.
And he was referring to Hayek and Friedman. And there is a video online called "You're All a Bunch of Socialists."
I've seen
Mises
it.
Mises to Friedman.
I've heard it.
Okay, anarcho blank. That sounds an awful lot like blank.
Anarcho raw milk. That sounds a lot like true sheebs.
Okay, and another possible answer is anarcho-communism. That sounds an awful lot like state-o-communism.
Anarcho-Ayn Rand. That sounds a lot like drones. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, probably.
Next one.
All right. Blank via the blockchain.
3 pounds of uninspected bacon you bought at Bitcoin at Porkfest via the blockchain. I actually did that, but I used silver instead of Bitcoin.
Okay.
And it was delicious.
All bacon is delicious.
Yeah.
I don't think that there's any such thing as bad bacon. You don't need a law to make that happen either. Okay. Next up. Jan Helfeld trolls blank using the Socratic method.
I don't know what that is.
Okay, Jan Helfeld is one of these mini status libertarians. So he's libertarian-ish, more like libertarian. Okay,
go
party
on,
libertarian.
Go on. If it requires explanation, it's not a fun card. Go on.
Okay. Well, I was just going to say trolls himself.
Ah, okay. See, but you're filling it in without using the cards, the response cards. But you actually can do that because the decks usually include a few blank cards you can write in your own. But go ahead, next.
Well, I'm a libertarian. Don't tell me what to do. All right. I was reading excerpts from the old Ron Paul newsletter. I can't believe he said blank are blank.
Neo-Confederates are the free rider problem.
If we have to be settled with this Constitution, you do too.
One more.
Okay. In the updated version of Defending the Undefendable, Walter Block defends...
homesteading a ring around someone's property to prevent their escape.
I was going to say the Ron Paul newsletters, Neo-Confederates, and free riding.
Give me another one really quick.
Okay, having outgrown childish libertarian fantasies, I now believe in...
buying freeze-dried bulk food for the impending economic collapse. Or, do the one again, do the card again.
Having outgrown childish libertarian fantasies, I now believe in...
the futility of the voting process.
I was going to go with unicorns.
Okay.
Freeze-dried.
Freeze-dried unicorns on the Freedom Fiends. That's our sponsor for this show, is freeze-dried unicorns. We'll be back tomorrow with Ben Stone, the Bad Quaker, and Chandler St. Pierre. Thank you for your service, Lusander Fiend.
Thank you very much. I enjoyed being had by you and the audience.